We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chukwi Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios. Final hour of the program means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets the first request. Little old school Billy Paul. The whole town's talking, baby. That's what we got going on right now, right? The whole town's talking about the Atlanta Hawks. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We do ask you to download the Odyssey.com app, as we know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but... Want to listen to the radio station and the show? How do I do it? Best way is through the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today. Take the smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, Laserdisc, 8-track player, turntable, Walkman. Whatever your device is, just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow us there. It's always the best way to be a part of the show. Through my personal Twitter handle, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points. 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. By the way, too, I forgot to mention, even though Dylan is in for Jarvis all week long, we are doing Rank'em coming up at in 40 minutes. So you can hit us up on the text line. You can hit us up on our Twitter page as well if you got a list that you want us to go over. So we will do Rank'em at 10:40. You know, Dylan's done this before with us, so he knows the gig. Now, he doesn't go down necessarily the Instagram model route the way that Jarvis does, where Jarvis goes deep, 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 deep in the – in the Instagram model with some of the craziest names that you'll ever see. But we will do Rank'em coming up at 10:40 this evening. So Braves still rocking and rolling, 3-0. Charlie Morton has been fantastic. 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 11 strikeouts, and 2 walks thus far. And he's really, boy, if they can get him rounded into form, man, you know, he's another guy that, you know, it's been very kind of hit or miss and kind of meh, you know, at times. But, boy, if he can get rounded into form, you know, I've said before that I think he's going to lead this team in innings and in strikeouts when all is said and done. So, you know, certainly he's finally starting to kind of get it, you know, cranked up and going here. You know, wasn't great in April, better in May. Now he's been, you know, better in June with the 3 starts that he's had, plus this being the 4th start. Out of all of it. So let's hope he can figure some things out, and let's hope he can continue, you know, on this winning track. You know, he was obviously lights out his last start against the Cardinals last Thursday, where he didn't give up a run. So he's gone, what, his last, you know, over 14 innings without giving up a run here in his last couple of starts. So they can get him cranked up and get him consistently going out there, then maybe they can put together a winning streak. We keep waiting for... You know, again, we just heard from, you know, Joe Patrick that I talked to earlier. We keep waiting for that winning streak to just kind of materialize, right? We just keep waiting for them to just break out. And who knows? Again, maybe it'll start with this Mets series. Maybe they rock and roll tonight, tomorrow, and, you know, get it going, then go in and just, you know, take it to Cincinnati. I'd love to say yes, but you don't know nowadays. So we'll see what they can do. So, all right, let's get to something we call our college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup, a complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Last night we talked to Amy Dash, and of course we got the Supreme Court ruling on the Alston versus NCAA case. Now, a couple of things I want to try to sort of simplify or kind of make sure everybody understands. Because this is a major case that is happening in the world of collegiate athletics. So, a few things. Amy referred to a case back in, I want to say it was 86, when the NCAA lost in the Supreme Court because they were basically monopolizing TV contracts. So there was no such thing as the SEC Network, ACC Network. There was no such thing as conferences negotiating their own TV contract. There was no such thing as teams negotiating, like Texas, their own TV deal. Everything was done through the NCAA. They controlled all the TV contracts. Well, the Supreme Court's ruling busted up that monopoly, and it opened its pathway to eventually what would become the SEC TV network, the ACC TV network. You know, all the conferences have their TV networks, right? And they have their deals negotiated with it. So that was the first step in saying that the NCAA isn't the end-all be-all when it comes to the fiefdom of collegiate athletics. Now, as we've moved along, from the personal standpoint, the case that really launched everything about athletes and getting their benefits was the Ed O'Bannon case, where Ed O'Bannon basically was watching, I think it might have been like his kid or something like that, was watching somebody playing the EA Sports college basketball game. And they're playing his, was it 95 UCLA that he was on, the championship team or whatever, right? So he's looking at this, and it's like the 95 UCLA Bruins, all right, whatever year it was. But let's say 95 UCLA Bruins. He's looking at it and saying, okay, they have this big left-handed lanky guy scoring all these points and this, that, and the other. Even though they're not using names, it's obvious that this is Ed O'Bannon. Same thing in the college football game where you'd have the Florida National Championship team whose quarterback was a tall, bull-strength, left-handed, white guy quarterback. Well, gee, who was that? Tim Tebow. Even though they wouldn't say it, their image and likeness was being used for it. And he said, well, wait a second. I never got a dime out of all this. And this is, by the way, after he was out of college and all this kind of stuff, after he was out of the pros and everything. Why should they have benefited? Why did I not get any of this money where the NCAA is getting all this money? Why did I not get anything? And that, of course, eventually got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that he should get compensation for that he should be allowed to profit off his name, image, and likeness. And that's opened the door to a lot of these other class action lawsuits. So the Alston case is basically nothing to do with name, image, and likeness, but it is to do with breaking up the monopoly of the NCAA being able to violate antitrust laws, meaning that the NCAA cannot be the sole arbitrator or the end-all be-all when it comes to compensation of a fiefdom of saying, wait a second, kids don't have the right to earn, kids don't have the right to educational benefits or this, that, and the other, or capping it off because the NCAA says so. Well, now the NCAA has lost its antitrust status, meaning that, okay, now we've set the groundwork for what amateur athletics is going to be. Collegiate sports, this, that, and the other, is going to be. And that's what's opening up the door to saying name, image, and likeness, to saying more educational. For instance, one of the things will be postgraduate scholarships or extending scholarships and things like that that aren't available now because the NCAA has said, no, you get your education here when you're on campus. So all these different things could be laptops. Could be all sorts of things. Anything education related, from a laptop to a scholarship that can be available even in the future and down the road, even if you're not necessarily academically or eligible to play sports or anything like that. So it's the foundation. It's not about name, image, and likeness. It's about the foundation of breaking up the antitrust and allowing these schools to dictate, okay, what are the educational benefits? And then you move into everything that's coming up as far as what name, image, and likeness, which, by the way, starts on July 1st for several states. In fact, California is trying to get theirs, instead of waiting a couple of years, they're trying to get theirs started in August or – no, I take that back. Excuse me. September is when they're trying to get theirs started of this year. Not wait till like August – or sorry, like 2023, I think. So name, image, and likeness isn't part of this, but – name, image, and likeness is moving forward because of the groundwork of cases like this that say, wait a second, the NCAA doesn't have the power and the authority to dictate what we can and cannot earn. They can't control labor. They're not an employer. See, if I work for Odyssey.com, or I work for the Odyssey company, right? They say, here's what the job is, here's what it pays, here's what it's worth, here's the benefits that you get, this is what you get by working here. Well, the NCAA is not an employer. They don't employ athletes. All that they are is a governing body. And by the way, they roll around $900 million a year in their coffers. Mark Emmert makes millions of dollars heading up the NCAA. Meanwhile, they float under the status of the 501c3 nonprofit organization. They are a nonprofit organization, by the way. Even though they pull in $900 million, part of what they have to do is, okay, turn money back over to schools. Remember when Randy Mack and I did the story, I gave you the list of they basically gave millions and millions and millions of dollars to individual schools because they had to get that money off their books as a surplus. So, for instance, they came up with a formula. However many scholarship athletes Ohio State has on campus, they are worth X amount of dollars per scholarship. Now, the thing was the kids could not get that money directly. So let's say, I think the number, just arguing, okay, $500 per scholarship or whatever it was, all right? So if they had assigned $500 per scholarship, the kids didn't get the $500 because that would be breaking NCAA rules, okay? But they had to get rid of the money because they're a nonprofit organization and they had to get that money. So what they do is they distribute to schools. Now the schools have control of those funds to do what they want to do with it. Well, remember we joked about they were doing things like, for instance, Ohio State created a safe space that had some dogs in a grass area where kids could just get away from everything and go hang out with some dogs in a grass area. Those kinds of. So with $2 million of cash flowing into Ohio State, they had a grassy field with some dogs that they created in it, right? You got to be a long-time listener to remember these kinds of things, but I do because I covered all the stories, and I remember all of them. I remember the Texas A&M ticket scam. I remember all the different things, the Oklahoma State compensation that, what's his name, the T. Boone Pickens, where they took the money and reinvested it to make more profit off of it, right? I remember all those stories because I did them all. So anyway, this is all about laying the groundwork for the NCAA no longer can control your labor, your money, or this, that, and the other. They no longer have the authority to dictate to students on campus what you can and cannot receive, which is how it should be. It should be a free market system. Well, but that's going to create haves and have-nots. There already are have and have-nots. There already are. There are not as many kids that go to Middle Tennessee as go to Ohio State. Ohio State's got 60-some thousand people. How many does Middle Tennessee State have? There are already inequities everywhere. The boosters at Ohio State are going to pump more money in than the boosters at Middle Tennessee. The expectation at Ohio State is different than at Middle Tennessee. There's already inequity. It's always been that way. Right? So when it comes to financial compensation and money, this is where the NCAA is being pushed aside, and this is why I say the NCAA is a dying breed that will go away. They will have their place with certain rules and things like that, but when it comes to the finances of collegiate athletics and basically stifling what athletes and students on campus can get, they won't have control over that anymore. Just like they don't have control over the general population on campus, they won't have control over the athletes anymore. That's what this case represents. All right, some keys to the Hawks tomorrow night as we get ready for game one against the Bucks. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Keys studios. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
What's happening, Duluth?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. Get the guys' perspective, and the ladies can listen, too. It's Guy Talk. We do it each weekday on Dukes and Bell at 3:40 and 5:40. Don't miss it.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Sound like a music hour rolling right along here. Don't forget, we got Rank'em coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Dylan is going to be handling the duties tonight as Jarvis has the week off. Don't forget, we will be with you for an hour tomorrow, 7 to 8, getting you ready for Hawks basketball. Also, two boxing fans, you're going to like this because Saturday, four-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis and undefeated WBA super lightweight champion Mario El Azteca Berrios will square off in a Showtime pay-per-view fight at the award-winning State Farm Arena right here in Atlanta, an event presented by Premier Boxing Champions. Ahead of Saturday's fight, there'll be a meet-and-greet for the along with all the fighters for open workouts held at the College Football Hall of Fame. Free and open to the public. Doors going to open tomorrow at 6 p.m., so don't miss a chance to watch, meet, and get ready for Saturday's fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and undefeated WBA super lightweight champion Mario El Azteca Berrios at the College Football Hall of Fame. Again, it's free and open to the public, and doors will open at 6 o'clock. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app site catches on the go. At 929 The Game, at JMCH316 on Twitter. I just retweeted this tweet from MLB Stats because Charlie Morton tonight, seven innings, one hit, no runs. What do you have? Two walks, and 11 strikeouts. Charlie Morton is the oldest Braves pitcher to have 11 strikeouts and one hit or less in a game since Warren Spahn did it back in 1960. So in 60, Warren Spahn was 39 years old and 146 days. Morton is 37 years old and 222 days. So how about that? Oldest pitcher to do 11 strikeouts and one or less hits in a game for the Braves since Warren Spahn did it back in 1960. How kind of crazy is that stat? But that, you know, listen, when Morton is right, and look, Charlie Morton is a guy that when it comes to be playoff time, that's when you want to see this Morton. That's what you're hoping for, you know, out of Charlie Morton is when you get one of those kinds of playoff starts. And he's been a very good playoff pitcher, so hopefully he gets a chance to pitch in the playoffs. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it? To be nice to, you know, playoff, you know, anyway. So Braves right now, still 3-0 in this game. What inning is that? I can't tell. I think that they are in the top of the eighth now is what I believe is what that says up there. So looks like top of the eighth inning. Braves holding on to that three-run lead that Dansby provided all three runs with the three-run shot with Ozzie and Almonte on. So that's the difference in the game right now. Marcus Stroman left after one inning because of soreness in his side or oblique or hip or I don't know, whatever it was. But anyway, so we'll keep up to date as the Braves will wrap this up. Should be able to hopefully wrap this up before we get out of here. But what isn't wrapped up is what starts tomorrow night, and that's the Hawks and the Bucks as game one will take place up in Milwaukee. Look, compared to Madison Square Garden and the Wells Fargo Center, I would say that the least intimidating environment of those three will be up in Milwaukee tomorrow night. And so for a team that's already won five games on the road, as crazy as that is, by the way, is that Drew Smiley that dropped down another bunt in that game right there? I can't. Inciarte dropped. I thought for a second there was Smiley, but that's Inciarte. I forgot he got the start in the center. Inciarte drops a bunt down. Why does he not do that more often? If he can't hit, then bunt and use your speed. But anyway, that's another sidebar issue. But when you look at home court advantage, hell, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy, but certainly the three arenas, I think the less intimidating is what you've got in Milwaukee. Now, the Bucks were 2-1 against the Hawks this year, but again, in these regular season series, you have to throw them out the window, and especially because one is the Hawks are playing so well right now. They were 1-5 against the Knicks and 76ers in the regular season. You see how much that really mattered. But you also, because the Hawks were so beat up, banged up all season long, you never got a real feel of, okay, here's Milwaukee at full strength, here's the Hawks at full strength, here's Philly at full strength, here's the Hawks at full strength, or what have you. You know, remember, the one win that the Hawks had was on a Sunday night here at State Farm where Trey didn't even play. Remember that stretch where Trey Young had missed a handful of games and the Hawks on a Friday night beat the Miami Heat to clinch the division, and then the Hawks turned right around on Sunday and beat Milwaukee, who was, you know, fighting, scratching, clawing for one of the top three seeds at that point. And Lou had some big shots late in that game to help them win it. So you can't even really kind of use those three games as an accurate matchup about how this thing will go. Now, there are some interesting matchups in this game. You know, certainly certainly that, Drew Holiday versus Trey, they'll put Holiday on Trey, and this is going to be one of the tougher matchups for Trey because Holiday is a first-team all-defensive type of player. He is an excellent defensive guard. And, look, more of a true traditional point guard that's going to be matching up against Trey versus taking a 6'10 swing guy that's not supposed to be that far out from the basket like Ben Simmons, this, that, and the other. It's not a knock against Ben Simmons, but that's just, in an ideal world, you don't want a Ben Simmons trying to guard Trae Young. That's just, because that means that somebody else is going to get a good matchup when you take your 6'10 guy and have to match him against Trae. Somebody else is going to get a really good matchup for all of it. So this will be a more traditional matchup. And Holiday's a really good defensive player that has lockdown ability. So this is where you want to see if Trey can get to the basket, continue to get to the basket. This is also where you want to see, Trey make sure that he's creating for other guys. Because his shooting and percentage and things like that may suffer some because he's got a very good defense. And by the way, Milwaukee, I think they finished in the top three or four as far as defensive efficiency. They may have finished number one. I didn't look up all the defensive stats, but they are one of the better defensive teams in the league. Giannis obviously has been a defensive player of the year. Holiday's a first team all defensive caliber guy, right? I mean, Middleton's a good defensive player. I mean, they've got a lot of good defensive weapons on that team, but especially Holiday on Trae Young is going to be the fascinating matchup. And this may be a situation where if Trey's not able to get his shot or get as much done offensively, then he's got to continue to create for the guys. He's got to continue to be able to create. And if it's going to be if it's going to be another 2-for-16 kind of night or something like that, make sure you get the 13, 14 assists to go along with it. The other matchup that's going to be interesting is I would figure that they probably, and obviously Bogdanović is a guy who we don't know what his status is going to be. Can he play? How much can he play? Or this, that, and the other. So now Kevin Huerter's role probably becomes even more important, and probably matching him up on Middleton, it would be what I think. Huerter's an okay defender. He's not great, but he's not terrible. Now, Middleton's been really good, and he's obviously their kind of real number two piece on that team behind Giannis. But look, that's going to be an interesting matchup as to if those two guys kind of square off, because I think Huerter can be an X factor in this series. We already saw Kevin Huerter win one game. And if Bogey's going to be limited and, Giannis is on John Collins and maybe that limits him offensively, you got to find some guys a little bit outside the box, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe it, to try to score. That's where I think that if you can get, Huerter, maybe he can create a good matchup and maybe he can find some points. But you wonder, okay, if he has to do a lot of work on the defensive end, does that hurt his offensive game? See, some of these matchups with, Brook Lopez and Capella, Giannis and Collins, Holiday and Trey, potentially maybe Middleton and Huerter, they need Bogdanović to try to play and try to play some. Now, I did have people that were already talking about the Cam Reddish thing. All right, first off, I'll believe Cam Reddish gets on the court when he's actually on the court. I'll have to see it to believe it for a guy that hasn't played since February. And everybody's like, well, he's healthy. Okay, he's been healthy. I hate to tell you, but let me be honest with you. He's been healthy for a while. He didn't just get healthy yesterday. I hope everybody understands that he hasn't miraculously all of a sudden gotten healthy yesterday. He's been upgraded to questionable. By the way, he's not upgraded to he will play. He's been upgraded to what is questionable. But before you tell me about, now he's healthy. Okay, he's been healthy, I tell you, but he didn't just get healthy yesterday. All of a sudden, they didn't look and say, he's healthy. Maybe we can put him as questionable now. Okay? That just didn't happen overnight. I hope you understand, right? I mean, I hope the logic, you understand that just didn't happen overnight. But I'm not for playing Cam Reddish. I'm not for playing Cam. He hasn't played since February, and this is not the time to experiment to see, can he give me anything? Even if that means Bogdanović is not out there. They've played with different types of lineups in the playoffs, whether it's they've gone with, more big guys or whether they've gone with Lou and Trey on the court at the same time. They've played different types of lineups because they have some guys who can play versatile roles. But I'm not for playing Cam Reddish. I don't want to experiment with a guy. And I had some people saying, well, if they play him 8 or 10 minutes, what's that going to get done for Cam Reddish? If he's trying to come back and hasn't played an NBA game since February, He hasn't played an NBA game since February. This is not the Minnesota Timberwolves on Tuesday night. This isn't the Houston Rockets in State Farm on Saturday night. Yeah, the Pistons, who got the number one pick. This is the best defensive team, loaded with guys, Eastern Conference Finals, everything's on the line. You know, the minutes that Giannis and Middleton and even those guys would get during the regular season is going to get amped up now. That's why I keep talking about the fact that the Hawks are 4-1 when Trae Young plays 40 minutes or more, despite the fact that he was a 35-minute guy during the regular season. So I'm not for playing Cam Reddish. I'm not experimenting with a guy who hasn't played since February. Cam Reddish's next game should be Summer League. That's what the Summer League is for, is to get him back into game shape and all that. I'm not trying to get him back. Well, but they practice out. Who cares? That ain't game shape. In the Eastern Conference Finals? It's different at this time of the year. The matchups are different. The players are different. The competition level, the stakes are it's all different. There's nothing about Tuesday night against Minnesota that compares to 8:30 in Milwaukee, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, do or die. You know, we got to get wins, and you only get, you know, if you don't win four games, they don't let you play anymore. Right? It's different. But, look, this is going to be a tough series as well. As I've said, though, I think the Hawks have seen the best player in this playoffs that they're going to see in Joel Embiid. Yes, I said that. I think right now Joel Embiid is a better player than even Giannis. I understand what his resume is, but I'm telling you, I think that Embiid is a tougher matchup for this team than Giannis. The difference is the second and third piece with Middleton and Holiday is better than anything that the Hawks have seen going into a series. Better than what the Knicks had for their second and third piece, and, frankly, better than what the second and third piece of the 76ers is. I think Middleton's one of those underrated guys in the league right now. He's become a 20-point-a-night guy with 20-point-a-night guy with a couple of all-stars now under his belt. I think we're talking about underrated and overrated and this, that, and the other. You know, he's a, 20-point, 6-rebound, 5-assist type of guy who can do a lot of different things. So it's going to be a fun matchup. Don't forget, we'll be on from 7 to 8 as we lead you into game one coming up tomorrow night. Up next, though, rank 'em. Dylan's in tonight, so he'll be asking the questions. You could text us or hit me up on my Twitter page at JMSH316. It's all next. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Key Studios. Sports Radio on the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Live in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling around long. Head to the top of the hour in JR Sports Brief. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 92 in the game, at JMCH316 on Twitter. We used to have a little fun on the weekends with Randy, Hugh. I'd pick their brain, learn a little bit more about the guys. We decided to steal that segment, and we call this Rank 'em.
All right, Mr. Chuckery, obviously, with the Hawks, you know, starting off the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow, it's going to be a lot of Hawks-related rankums in there. But I got some good ones sprinkled in here as well that are Hawks-related. So, first, we are going to start off with Hawks, though. Whose performances will mean more, you know, when it comes to how this series is going to pan out?
Okay.
Jrue Holiday, Kevin Huerter, John Collins, or Brook Lopez? Rank them.
I'm going to say Holiday 1. You had Collins on the list?
Yes.
Collins 2, Lopez, Huerter. Huerter 3, Lopez 4. What I hope is Lopez has doesn't have one of those 28-15 kind of stupid games where all of a sudden he hits a couple of threes and he gets it going and just, you know, he has one of those dumb games where it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, he went and won him a game. So I'm counting on Lopez to not be a factor in this.
All right, moving on. We'll come back to the Hawks a little bit later. You know, we're kind of getting back to normal a little bit. You know, obviously COVID's still out there, but we're starting to get back to normal a little bit.
Yeah.
So that made me think, obviously COVID, nothing about COVID was necessarily good, but there were some things that weren't so bad, if you get what I'm saying. So what result of COVID will you miss the most? Obviously, there was way less traffic, especially in the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Can't speak for other cities, but
the
traffic, you know, even between now and, you know, when COVID first started.
Yeah, traffic's awful again. Back to being awful again. Yeah, it is.
Especially for you, you got to make a pretty good commute. So
way
less traffic, having more alone time, you know, that good chuckery time, quality chuckery time. Not having to drive to station staff meetings and, you know, sit through station staff meetings in person. Now you can, you know, be in your underwear, do whatever you want. Or, you know, you did get to work from home for at least for a little bit. You know, obviously not as much as you probably wanted to. But,
yeah, I mean, we've only really been back for the last few months.
Right.
And we spent not quite a year isolated. I would say the traffic, that's the traffic is the thing I already miss. I already miss it now. Not coming to staff meetings would be two. I don't mind coming here to the studio to do the show. I wanted to come to the studio to do the show, so that'll go three.
Okay.
And the alone time, I do that anyway. I
you get that anyway.
Pandemic, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. I mean, I'm just kind of that way anyway. You know, I'm not out and about as much and stuff like that. You know, so especially nowadays, I'm just so tired anyway. Yeah, so the alone time, it's, you know. But I don't mind. Listen, I'm the one who wanted to come to studio and start doing the show because I think there's a better vibe, a better environment, you know, being here and doing it versus being out and about. Let me do a couple of quick ones here on Twitter. Our buddy, the real Matt Ryan, Devin Booker, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Drazen Petrovic. I'll take Reggie Miller 1. I'll take Drazen Petrovic 2. I'll take Ray Allen 3. And I'll take Devin Booker number 4. Just because Devin Booker's got to get that full body of work in. And our buddy Alvy on Twitter says, rank these PSAs. The kids with asthma, the Matthew McConaughey. That's the Matthew McConaughey one is the Peace Corps. The Breathe Easies or the Dale Buzinski, you know, budget it's for cupcakes. Give me the Breathe Easies number 1 because they have all the hit songs. Yeah. Give me Dale Buzinski and his cupcake budget number 2 for his homeless resumes that he makes. Give me the Matthew McConaughey Peace Corps. You know, what's that one where he's like, what if you just left the whole earth and went in the Gobi Desert and just ate bugs for a year? And then the kids with asthma, that one bothers me because I still don't know, are those real kids with asthma or are they just actors pretending to be sick and having to go to the hospital and all that kind of stuff that they say? That's what bothers me about that whole thing.
Who was this again who takes that? Because that is a loyal listener.
If you
remember the PSAs.
No, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Al. Again, we play him 5 times an hour. So, I mean, it's not like you don't know what they are. So,
that's true. All right. So, let's get back to something a little more Hawk related here.
Yep.
But it'll still be fun, too. So, we got a lot of people on the Hawks with some solid nicknames. So, out of Ice Tray, Red Velvet, who, you know, Kevin Herter is now full-on Red Velvet now. There's no more debating about it. Lemon Pepper Lou, and then, you know, John Collins. I know where you're going to put this last one because I feel like only Steve Holdman calls him this, but
what's
John
he called? Not Max Collins? Oh.
The Duncan Deacon.
Huh, okay. It should be called Not Max Collins. But anyway, Ice Tray goes 1. Give me Lemon Pepper Lou 3, Red Velvet, which I still don't understand the whole Red Velvet thing. I know he's got red hair. I get it.
And
I
he's
know
smooth.
Okay. All right. I'll take that 3, and then No Max John goes number 4, or whatever his name is. What's he called? The Duncan Deacon?
The Duncan Deacon.
Because he played at Wake Forest for the Demon Deacons or whatever out there. Quickly on the text line as well. Blondes, brunettes, redheads, or others? What would the others be? Like blue or gray or something like that? First of all, I'm a brunette guy all the way, so that's far and away number 1. What would other be? Gray hair?
Maybe like
blue hair?
Girls who wear wigs and have like special colored wigs.
Give me blonde 2, redhead 3, and I'm afraid what other would be. Bald?
Bald?
Sinead O'Connor? Anyway, so. All right, Dylan, sorry.
No, all good. Let's stay on the topic of women. Last night, you were talking about how Tristan Thompson has cheated on Khloe Kardashian for the umpteenth time.
Yes, and she keeps trying to stay with him.
Right. So if you, John Trucker, were Tristan Thompson, and who would you cheat on Khloe Kardashian with? Would it be any IG model that you want, any porn star that you want, any Kardashian that you want, or would you go the Tristan Thompson route and kick things off with Jordan Woods?
Let me see. Jordan Woods. Let me see what I've got going on here because I'm trying to remember.
That's the one who was Kylie's best friend.
Yeah, and did he not have a baby with her or something like that?
No, I don't think he had a baby with
her. He's got a lot of babies running around.
Yeah.
All right, give me the porn stars one because you pay them to leave, as Charlie Sheen famously said. Give me the IG models 2. Give me Jordan Woods 3. And then anything Kardashian related is going to be my death knell. So, again, I'd take Mitch Evans and then the Kardashians because the Kardashians are basically going to ruin your life. So, no matter what it is, your life is going to be ruined for it.
All right, let's next get into, a soft spot question. It might hit home a little bit because this might be a tough answer. So, who wins a championship next here in Atlanta? Obviously, the last championship was Atlanta United in 2018. Mm-hmm. So, who's going to win a championship next out of the Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and Atlanta United? John Chuckery?
Oh, boy. I know people are going to think I'm nuts. I'm still going to go Braves 1. I'm going to go United 2, Hawks 3, and Falcons 4. Here's the crazy thing. Like I said the other night, as great as the Hawks have been, you understand that they've only won half the amount of games. Think about it. They've only won half the number of games you need to win the NBA title. Mm-hmm. They still have to win 8 more games to win the NBA title.
Yep.
Like, Falcons have to win at most 3 games to win games to win the Super Bowl, right? If you win the division, you win the division game, NFC championship game, and then the Super Bowl, right? You got to win 16 games if you're in the NBA. That's a crap ton, man. I'm telling you. That's why I say you have to almost look at it as, okay, this guy can win me how many games? This guy can win me what? Because you got to win 16 of those things. And by the way, you can only lose 3 times. If you lose more than 3 times in a row, you don't play anymore.
You're done.
Yep, it's crazy.
All right, let's have a little fun with this one. Favorite Atlanta jersey between the old school Falcons red jersey, the Braves, the new Braves navy blue jersey, because they had a navy blue jersey back in the day, but the navy blue jerseys they wear now.
Okay.
The Hawks black and red jersey with the big hawk in the Mutombo era. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah. With the hawk spread wings across. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the now new, starting to become favorite, Hawks MLK jerseys.
Give me the Falcons you said the old school Falcons, right? Just the new Falcons?
No, old school red.
Give me the old school red Falcons. By the way, Braves did win tonight. Will Smith closed it out. Give me the old school Falcons 1. Give me the Dikembe Hawks 2. Give me the MLK 3 and Braves 4. Now, if you said the Braves home red on Friday night,
I was thinking about that one.
That might have been number 1.
There was a lot of red. I was going to go
in
there.
Yeah, but that Braves red home that's my jam.
Yeah. That's,
give me the red with the white pants. That's my jam out of all of it. So thank you for that, Dylan. The way, the Braves do win tonight as Charlie Morton was magnificent. Will Smith picks up his 15th save. Now 15 out of 16 for Will Smith. Say what you will, but again, comes in and shuts it down, and Charlie Morton was magnificent. Now 7-3 on the year, his ERA down to 3.68. Another 11 strikeouts for him, so unbelievable. Braves win 3-0. They need to win tomorrow, or basically they didn't do anything up in New York. Because remember, they're playing 4 games because of the doubleheader, so they've taken 2 out of 3, but lose tomorrow, and you've gone 2-2, and you didn't gain any ground. Kind of defeats the purpose of what you got to do against the Mets right now to try to close the gap. So, all right, we get back, going to close things up. Love TKO. Then we'll hand it off to JR Sports Brief. Chuck, you're in the Cave Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If it matters to an Atlanta sports fan,
get the latest here first.
It's about us! It's about our strength!
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
An Odyssey station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. JR Sports Brief coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, we get you ready for Hawks basketball tomorrow. We'll take you for an hour leading up into pregame. Before we get out of here, though, and hand it off to JR, let's let you listen to what is the greatest opening lyric in all of music history.
Looking back over my years, I guess I shed some tears.
Braves win. Let's see if they can, you know, win tomorrow, because that's the swing game, right? If they can win tomorrow, that means they pick up some ground in this series on the Mets. If not, then all they've done is split with the Mets. You know, they've split four games. That's not getting you anywhere before they head on to Cincinnati and take on the Reds. And, you know, hopefully, you know, try to get three out of four against the Reds as well before they come back home. They'll get a day off on Monday and then be back home to take on the same New York Mets out of all of it. Charlie Morton, fantastic tonight. 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, only one hit, no runs. His last 14 and two-thirds innings, he has not given up a run. And, you know, his last two starts have been 14 and two-thirds innings. So this is the Charlie Morton that we signed up for, right? I thought going into the season he'd lead this team in innings and strikeouts. I think right now he's with all that. And look, especially now that Max Fried is back on the IL, they need guys like Morton and Smiley to really step up and take up some of the slack for it. So we'll be back tomorrow night. We'll get you ready for Hawks Game 1. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of late nights, right, for everybody. But listen, it's a good thing, right? Eastern Conference Finals. So, all right, we got to get out of here. For Dylan, it's Chuckery. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. For Dylan, it's Chuckery, I should say. We're out of here. See you. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.